not sure I'll be able to do quite as good of a job telling that story, but I'll give it a shot. So the reading today, the first reading today is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. There is no page number, so I hope you're quick. I'll wait just a second, though. All right, so 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place on you your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
Our second reading day comes again from the Gospel of John. We're now into chapter 11, and a very pivotal chapter in the Gospel of John. So what has happened just prior to this is Jesus got rejected by the Jews. In fact, they decided that they wanted to kill him. They picked up stones to stone him, and he managed to kind of slip through, and then he and his apostles went into hiding. And we're not clear how long he had kind of been on the other side of the Jordan waiting for whatever it was that was going to happen, but the story picks up again at the beginning of chapter 11, and we're told that now there was a certain man who was ill. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha. Now, Mary was the one who anointed Jesus with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, and so the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he who you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, having heard of Lazarus' illness, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Now let us go to Judea again." And the disciples who were with him said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Well, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble." Okay. "Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see." So is that, Candace, I'm... Okay. All right. I apologize again. Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because light is not in them. After saying this, Jesus told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to awaken him." And the apostles said to him, "Lord, if he's just fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring simply to sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Well, let us go too, so we may die with him." And when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come out to Martha and to Mary to console them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him, and while Mary stayed at home. So Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha affirmed that. She said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus replied to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Now when she had said this, she went back and she called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up and go quickly out. And they followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were also weeping. And he was greatly disturbed in the spirit and deeply moved. "Where have they laid him?" he said to them. "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's been," "there is already a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took the stone away. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were bound with strips of cloth, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So, I wanted to preach off of Robert's passage because I love that passage, the dry bones of Ezekiel and the tremendous promise that holds. Karl Barth, a famous theologian, said that Ezekiel 37 was the best commentary ever written on Genesis 2, where God breathes life into Adam, who he forms out of the dust. And I've always just loved that passage and the visuals with the bones coming together and the rattling sound and coming together and the sinew coming upon them and the muscle covering them and then the skin covering them and they even stand up, but they're not yet alive. They're not alive until the Spirit of God, the breath of God, comes to them and makes them stand. An exceedingly great host, the people of Israel or of Judah who were in exile in Babylon, who had been some 40 years as others had eaten the grapes that they had planted in their vineyards, the people who felt as if there was no hope, as if they all that they had dreamed in their youth had now been given to another. And God says through the prophet, no, you will be redeemed. Your life will be saved. You will be alive again, and you will stand an exceedingly great host. I love that passage. But I also love my passage. In fact, I love it. I love all 20 of them. I'm kind of thinking that, yeah, there are at least 20 sermons to be preached out of this passage of Lazarus. First, you know, what is going on that Jesus waits until Lazarus is good and dead before he goes to Bethany to minister to his friend? And what is that all about? Is that really Jesus about needing to build up his own ego, or is there something else beyond that? But that's a sermon we're not having today. There's a sermon about when Jesus goes and the people who are coming out to Martha and Mary and who these people are. This is Mary who in the next chapter is actually going to anoint Jesus' feet with the tremendously expensive perfume. And as she anoints his feet and she dries it with her hair, it's a place where Judas seems very, very concerned about all the money that's being wasted on this frivolous activity. But Martha and Mary and Lazarus obviously have the kind of resources where they can spend many thousands of dollars in our day on a bottle of perfume to anoint one who is soon going to be dead. And so that beautiful passage, we know that they're powerful people, that they are in the upper crust of the society, and those who had come to mourn with them are people who are of great importance. They are there because they want to support, but they're also there because they want to be seen supporting. That this is an important family. This is an important thing that is happening, and the people are gathered there. And that's also it's also a sermon I'm not preaching today. I'm being sneaky about here and sneaking them all in there. But there are several. The sermon I want to preach today is this amazing encounter with Martha. So you have the sisters, Martha and Mary, Mary is the one that breaks all the rules. You think that Mary's the feminist. You know, Mary's the one who comes in when in a gathering of all men, and she anoints Jesus' feet. She's the one who speaks up and she asks questions of the teacher in a time where this is kind of a guy's thing to do, and she's a woman who shows up and she's not willing to be relegated to the place of a woman. And her sister Martha even says to Jesus, you know, Jesus, won't you make her come and help me? There's so many people visiting because you're here, and I am feeling really overworked. Make my sister do her womanly thing and come and help me in the kitchen. And Jesus says, no, she's chosen the better. You know, and so you just got to love Mary. And here's Martha, the dutiful one. She's the woman who just shows up. And she shows up and she does what she needs to do. And we're told in this passage that Jesus loves Mary and Jesus loves Martha and Jesus loves Lazarus. Jesus loves these people. They're very dear friends to him. And the person that he encounters first is Martha. She hears that Jesus is coming and she goes out to meet him. And she says the identical words that Mary's going to say later, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And yet I know that you are, that whatever you ask of God, God will do for you." And she's not really angling for a resurrection. She's, I don't know what exactly she's hoping for. But Jesus says, well, he will live. And she says, yeah, I know he will live in the resurrection. He will be raised from when all of us are raised in the great rising of the dead. But in the here and now, I'm in grief. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me will never die. And Martha hears that. And Jesus says, do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You are the one for whom we have waited all these many generations. And then Martha goes and gets her sister. She goes and gets Mary and says, Mary, Jesus is here. And he's asking for you. And I just love that because the other place where we have a similar passage to this is in the Synoptic Gospels when Jesus is with his apostles and he says, so who is it that people say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're Elijah and some say you're John the Baptist. And he says, well, who do you think I am? And it's Peter who says, you are the Christ. You are the one that we've been waiting for. You are the very Son of God. And Jesus says, you do not know this on your own. You are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. And then he tells Peter not to tell anyone what Peter knows. So, very different situations. Peter, the heir of the keys to the kingdom, the one who is going to become Petros, the upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, who has the cathedral in Rome, Peter, who we all know of and we think of. He has the insight that Jesus is the Christ, and he says it out loud, and he's told not to speak this. But in John's gospel, the one who has this realization is Martha, the servant woman, the real feminist. A person that, where God breaks the rules, it is in exactly this statement by Martha that the truth of God's identity, of Jesus' identity, is revealed, and we know that Jesus is known by those he has come to serve in this person who is acknowledged through all of the scripture to be a servant to others. And when she says, you are the Christ, the one we have been waiting for, Jesus does not say, you are Martha, upon this rock I will build my church. He doesn't have to. Because he doesn't even have to tell her, don't go tell anybody. In fact, the first thing she does is she goes and tells her sister. The master is here, he is looking for you. Go see him. There's something about your life that needs to be made whole again right now in this moment in our deep grieving. You need to go to Jesus because he wants to see you. And my friends, I come to this passage this day and I just so love Martha. She shows up. She is the first one out to encounter Jesus. She does what she has to do. She realizes who he is. She speaks the truth of his ability to bring life where there is no life, even as Ezekiel prophesied. And as soon as she is fully aware of what she knows, she goes and she shares it with the one she loves best. And she invites her sister to come to Jesus because Jesus is looking for her. Perhaps it's a great passage for evangelism. Because, my friends, we are here. We have come to encounter Jesus. And as we encounter Jesus and we understand that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come to us to fulfill the promise of the Scriptures, we are invited to go to those we love and to say, yes, go and see Jesus. He is looking for you. There is a way in which we are invited to connect with people differently than we ever have before, because we are people of the promise. We are people who are able to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord of life. And we are able to say to those we love, come, go, find Jesus. He is looking for you. Some would argue that it is this passage in the very center of the Gospel of John, the place where Jesus goes from being public to being private and only being with his apostles. Some would argue that this is the very core of the Gospel of John, that this passage where this woman, who is dutiful and faithful, realizes who she is, who he is, and what he needs to be about. And that really the raising of Lazarus is just to reinforce that Jesus is the Lord of life, and that is preparation for all we will experience in the next couple weeks as we go through Holy Week and as we come to Easter. My friends, we are coming to Jesus with lives that are full of confusion and frustration, with lives that are sometimes remarkably painful, where we have lost that which we love in the form of relationships, sometimes husbands and wives and children, and sometimes in friends, and sometimes in trust. But we come to Jesus, and we can say, Jesus, if only you had been here, my trust would not have died. And Jesus says, I can resurrect that trust. Let us pray. Lord, we are here, we are your people, we are those who are tired and grieving. Those who sometimes feel hopeless and anxious. Lord, we are looking for you even in this day, even in this moment. Breathe in us and call forth the breath that we may live, that we may stand in exceedingly great host. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.